put a snake on my back. I keep a red bone on my side.
Good morning and welcome to Road Warrior Radio. You're tuned in live this Friday, February 23rd, 2018 on the one and only Republic Broadcasting Network. And as always, thanks for coming along for the ride, and a wild and dystopic cartoonish ride it is. It's going to be an interesting broadcast, I'll tell you that. I'm excited, and so all I can say is buckle up, Dorothy, because Kansas is going bye-bye. Yesterday I mentioned, as we've kind of been talking about the events of last Wednesday's incident, one of them anyway, kind of focusing on the Parkland, Florida incident, still not really circling back around to the Fort Meade NSA campus incident yet, but the Parkland, Florida incident has broad implications in an Alinsky-esque sort of fashion. That, you know, event being seized upon surreptitiously by certain ne'er-do-wells, what the founders might call intriguers or an artful and designing minority to accomplish nefarious ends. So we're gonna do that. Yesterday I mentioned today that we would sort of focus on the establishment narrative, and I'm excited to do that because I'm joined today by my guest, Scott Crichton, who runs a fantastic blog and YouTube channel, blog over at willielohman.wordpress.com, and his YouTube channel, which I would call a golden nugget in the wilderness, a kind of diamond in the rough, if you will. I'm surprised that his YouTube channel doesn't have like 10 or 100 times the subscribership it does. And you know, as far as that goes, I wouldn't be surprised if there's a little funny business with the numbers, if you know what I mean. Especially these days, as we've seen, you know, channels get taken down in a second when a certain video is published. For example, the stuff that, you know, that video series of David Hogg not knowing his lines, that seemed to get thousands of videos removed and a few channels scrubbed. just in the past couple of days. So anyway, without further ado, let me welcome Scott Crichton. Scott, thanks for coming on the broadcast.
Well, thanks for having me on, Chris. I appreciate it.
I'm really looking forward to it. You do some fantastic stuff, and you have a great sense of humor, I think. But you cover topical stuff in a way that's more in depth than just about anybody out there. I mean, there are a few, and you have a great knack, I think, for drawing resources together, and you don't pull any punches. One of the best examples that comes to my mind is Mike Rupert, and how when Mike Rupert passed away, you didn't pull any punches.
No.
As far as your view. And so folks that don't know can go, you know, see for themselves what I mean. But that's kind of refreshing in the sense that it's not propaganda. You can clearly see you're very upfront about your views, and you present information and research in a very objective, thoughtful, fact-based way, which I think is almost like a bygone art. You know, investigative journalism used to be redundant, and now
it's a rarity.
Yeah.
And if you find it someplace, you're going to find it on YouTube, you're going to find it on little small channels someplace, or little small websites like mine. And if you find it on YouTube, you better enjoy it while it's there, because YouTube's going to pull them. Didn't they just pull, what was that website you were talking about in the show you did the other day, our YouTube Urban, channel that was pulled?
Urban Moving.
Yeah.
Urban Moving and Charles Walton were the two big ones that got pulled recently.
Yeah.
And, you know, I mentioned those yesterday and encourage folks to, go see for themselves. Your YouTube channel is titled American Everyman, which is all one word, American Everyman, for those who might not know. And you do, like I said, I mean, just fantastic stuff. Great sense of humor, but thoughtful information. And one of the big reasons I wanted to reach out to you and have you on to talk about the Parkland incident, whatever happened last Wednesday, was because of your coverage of the Cubic connection that I think is, you know, that to me is one of the vital and essential pieces. Is there more than one Kevin Hogg in the Parkland, Florida area? Hard to imagine.
No, it's his. The video I did that evening when I found that out, and it was we was tracing it back through his LinkedIn thing, and then of course we traced it to his mentioned in LinkedIn his wife's name, and I found his wife's Facebook, and then I found a Kevin Hogg.
Yeah.
But then right there on his wife's Facebook account was a family picture of Kevin Hogg from Cubic, of course the wife, and David Hogg, all standing there, I think on a lake somewhere down here in sunny Florida. So it's clearly, it's definitely them. Plus, when you look at the map, it's like 6 miles from, and of course someone said in an interview, David said that he had to go about 4 miles from home too. So it's definitely his father. It's definitely his father. Plus his father then did a video on CNN.
Right.
While I was doing that, did an interview sitting next to his son. Definitely the same guy. You know, everyone focuses on his former FBI connection. They really should look into what he does now.
Exactly.
That's even more troubling.
Yeah. And then you start to, you know, there are lots of kind of head scratchers. I mean, the fact that he says that he retired from the FBI, I think it was the Sun Sentinel article, one of the articles I read, he retired from the FBI in 2014, but he's listed as working at Cubic for 11 years and 3 months now. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of interesting. And then, you know, he's sitting there and presented as Ward Cleaver, basically. Yeah, my dad's walking the dog and falling asleep on the couch, but you know, he falling asleep to Netflix, David says. But in reality, Cubic is a hardcore defense security contractor with black ops training and all kinds of crazy stuff. And I want to get into that more, but before we do that, I would like to give you the opportunity to maybe discuss on air what you were talking about before we came on. You have this video published earlier today titled Crafting a Comprehensive List of American Gladio Events. And I know that, you know, you mentioned that's a series you're doing. I know you have a couple other videos. You want to talk about that?
Sure, I'd love to. Talking to another guy, researcher and host like yourself, he called me up yesterday and we're talking about it. We were talking about the history of these events, and it just, you know, just like I said in the interview and in the video, I've covered all sorts of things overseas. I cover what we've done in Syria. I cover what we've done in Libya. I cover what we've done in Korea's and you know, all of these different events, and I'm opposed to them. And I try to explore them and expose them for what they are. But over the years, I've been doing this for about 10 and a half years. I've been running my website about 10 and a half years now. And I've also covered a lot of these, what I call American Gladio events. And they are events that usually have the same basic parameters in terms of characteristics. A lot of times you have a patsy or a person who has absolutely no motive, and it actually seems beyond comprehension that they would just flip out for no apparent reason and decide to kill a bunch of people.
Yeah,
they typically involve AR-15s, sometimes a number of them, sometimes a ridiculous number of them. They include extended clips, bump stocks, handguns with extended clips, sometimes riot shotguns. These are all the kinds of things, like a shopping list of stuff that that certain people want to see pulled off the streets.
Exactly.
But they also include things like, usually a connection to what they would call a psychological or mental health issue. And that usually becomes, oh, he's just crazy. And so that usually ends up becoming part and parcel of the story and helps to create a narrative that we have to go out there and do something to get these crazy people off the streets. And, of course, one of the ways they've been talking about doing it, these mental hygiene laws they're talking about, and have been talking about for a very long time. One of the ways they've been talking about doing it, and of course, recently we just saw this with Parkland. This sheriff actually comes right out there and says, yeah, I want the ability to be able to look at someone's social media post and determine whether or not they are crazy and snatch them up, put them into some kind of evaluation, and then forced...
re-education camp, like you said.
Right. Forced treatment programs.
Yep.
And that's been part and parcel of these things, but these things have been going on for quite some time. And if you look back, one of the things that I'm focusing on here is the NDAA 2012, which was signed on December 31st, 2011. And that is key. And a lot of us back in those days, when we were writing about this and researching about this and talking about this, we said, you know, this is really, really troubling. Because one of the things it did was it opened up the entire world as the theater of operation for this war on terror, right? But when it did so, it also, for the first time, opened up U.S. soil, which allowed for the end of posse comitatus, which allowed for the indefinite detention of people militarily throughout the entire global war on terror, which is an endless thousand-year war, right?
Yeah.
But more importantly, it also opened up the ability for operations to take place in the United States, including something called unconventional warfare.
Exactly. And, you know, we see the pieces of that being assembled, the defense industry being largely outsourced 10 years ago, as folks like R.J. Hillhouse and Tim Shurrock have written about extensively. I noticed that you mentioned, you cited in one of your recent videos, Dana Priest and William Arkin and their Top Secret America series, the book, actually.
Yeah.
Speaking of, it was the Kubik video and the Abraxas Trapwire connection.
Right.
And so you have the spy side, you have the outsourcing of the DefSec industry or the defense industry, so-called, which, like you point out, is there's nothing defense about it.
Right.
So, you know, you have the hardware going out, and now we have hardcore, unconventional psychological operations in the Smith-Mundt Modernization Act and, you know, the plausible deniability of how can we be responsible for propaganda that echoes back or bounces back, you know, from foreign wire services across the pond over here through social media. We can't do anything about that. So let's just make it legal.
Right.
And so, you know, you have Operation Earnest Voice and things like that that are softening people up, I would say. And so for those who don't know, you have all of the pieces of that mechanism that you're talking about that are basically, they've kind of been created piecemeal in the fashion that, you know, Richard N. Gardner talked about, for example, when he, in Hard Road to World Order, he said, you know, to quote William James, it'll look like a great booming, buzzing confusion, but in the end, you know, the end run around sovereignty, eroding it piece by piece and building this, you know, world order brick by brick is what they're doing. So he talked about having all of these different components and then them being snapped together, which right. is pretty much what's happening now. Would you agree?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, it's you think it's random, but you step back and look, and that's what was happening. Like, I'll give you a fine example of what you're talking about, what you just said. I'm going through this, I'm looking at this, and then I realize, wait a minute, that means in 2011, the Obama administration and the State Department and, of course, Justice and Department of Homeland Security and people like Kissinger, who were advising and very close to Obama and very close to Hillary Clinton. And, of course, people also forget that these neocons in the centrist Dems and the centrist Republicans and neocons really have just infused. They own centrism. So absolutely. That's why they hate the alt right. That's why they hate the alt Bernie bot left, because they're not infused in that. But if you go back and look, they were the ones who were pushing for these things to be added in the NDAA 2012. And for those who don't know, National Defense Authorization Act of 2012, throughout 2011. So look back and step back and say, what was going on in 2011? In 2011, we were sending terrorists to destabilize places like Libya, and we started the process in Syria.
Yeah,
sending in terrorist destabilization. And listen, I mean, I understand people have a hard time, and they don't really want to understand that things like, you know, Al Qaeda, ISIS, Al Nusra, even the White Helmets. These are the White Helmets is more of a hearts and mind campaign, but these things are part and parcel. The Contras. These things are part and parcel of what's called unconventional warfare. And the funny thing is, one of the things that this company that you mentioned a few seconds ago does, Cubic, does, they have an entire division set towards training people for unconventional warfare.
Right, and you covered that extensively in the video, and folks definitely need to check that out. It was a fantastic video. I found it interesting, as I was coming to the same conclusions, I started digging around and I came across your video that you'd published, I think, the day before. I kind of went, whoa, this is crazy. This is the same guy. And the video is titled Father of New Anti-Gun Crusader Works for Major CIA-Linked GWOT Defense Contractor. That is a must-watch. It's only had 2,400 views according to YouTube. It should have about 100 or 1,000 times that many views. And, you know, it's interesting. I think he kind of lets the cat out of the bag, sort of. He starts to leak a little bit, Kevin Hogg does, at the end of that CIA News Network video, where he says, you know, these people, bring it on. And he kind of sounds less like a Ward Cleaver and more like a, you know, a black ops contractor. Anyway, yeah. We're headed into a break, folks. Yeah, I hear the music. Stick around. We'll be right back with my special guest, Scott Crichton, right after this short break.
For the past 14 years, it's been my privilege to host the National Intel Report on RBN, to offer a platform to interview exceptional guests, to provoke critical thought, and examine evidence, whether real, fake, or somewhere in between, and allow our audience to call in and participate with your input and questions in order to help us all reach an educated decision and arrive at our own truth. Our world has changed. It's now been turned on its head. Real is now considered fake, and mainstream fake is now pushed as real, rather than any clear thinking, consensus, or rationale.
Those few remaining beacons of light, the ones still shining through the mainstream media lies, propaganda, and deception, are being viciously attacked at every level through attempts at censorship, threatening advertisers, jailing hosts, and even killing journalists brave enough to speak the truth to you. We are in a war for our very freedom and existence, and through these despicable acts, freedom haters, collectivists, and communitarians have shown they will stop at nothing to blot out these last few beacons of light. Truth is becoming increasingly more difficult to unmask, just as the term unmasking itself is spoken by those usually anonymous sources. They promote their lies, wishing to mask the truths by ignoring it, vilifying it, or conspiratorializing it into a black hole abyss.
Regrettably, RBN has reached the tipping point, and through internal audit and actuarial review, it has now been determined that the only life raft of survival to this network is to go the way of PBS, that being audience supported. Like a cornered animal, the left with veracity is pulling out all the stops with every effort to effectively blacken our beacon forever. Help us, folks. Help yourselves. Don't let our light stop shining. Our motto has always been, because you can handle the truth. It's time to review your budget, folks. If you want the truth to keep flowing through RBN, go to republicbroadcasting.org and become a regular monthly donor of 30, 40, 50, or 100 or more a month and ensure you keep the truth flowing.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2 keep it today.
Oh, happy days. Happy days. Welcome back. Welcome back. I am joined once again by my special guest, Scott Crichton, and I do mean that. Hopefully you've heard just in the first segment. It's going to go pretty fast and pretty furious, and there will be a lot of information covered. So we've kind of dropped down into the subject of the National Defense Authorization Act of 2012, and I would add to what you're saying, Scott, parenthetically perhaps, that This presidential action from the White House, whitehouse.gov, it reads, Presidential Memorandum on the Delegation of Authorities under Section 1245 of the National Defense Authorization Act for fiscal year 2018. And for those who don't know, 1245 is pretty much exclusively concerned with the crippling of Iran through a variety of means, which kind of reminds me of all the echoes that we've heard of the Greater Israel Project, Yanan Plan, Wolfowitz Doctrine, et cetera, et cetera. And some of the most recent, I think, prescient warnings have come from, like, retired Air Force Colonel Sam Gardner back in 2006 when he was on the Situation Room with Wolf Blitzer, and he said, Blitzer goes, what would it take for the order to be given for us to be conducting, you know, live operations, kinetic operations, even in Iran? And Gardner doesn't blink before he says, it's already been given. It's already happening. We've been in Iran for at least 18 months. The evidence is overwhelming. That was 2006. Then there was, of course, Wes Clark in 2007 when he was on Democracy Now! In March, and then later the Commonwealth Club talk in October of 2007, which is the big one, I think. Wes Clark, America's Policy Coup, Foreign Policy Coup is the YouTube video. And then Patrick Claussen at Washington Institute for Near East Policy in 2012, who says, you know, we should just do a false flag event like we always do. So how does America get to war typically? You know, so we've had these warnings. Now the Trump administration is rattling the saber on Section 1245. And so anyway, as I said, parenthetically, I didn't mean to interrupt, by the way. I was just trying to add to what you're saying before we went into the break.
Oh, no. No, I think that's fascinating. Going back to 2006, it's interesting you brought that up and Gardner's statement about that. Because if you recall, that's the whole thing that happened with between Israel and Lebanon, and Israel got their butts kicked and had to leave, but not after before destroying a bunch of civilian structures over there. And, of course, Condi Rice went over and gave the famous quote about the birth pangs of a new Middle East. Yep. And she did that in Tel Aviv in 2006. And if you want to tie all this back into Israel and the Greater Israel Project, the birth pangs of the new Middle East referred to a map that was drawn in 2005 for the Defense College, College of Defense, whatever it was. And you can clearly look it up, and it's very easy to find. But, you know, that was part and parcel of what she's talking about. And the new map of the Middle East, they had taken pieces of Iraq, pieces of Iran, pieces of Turkey, and pieces of Syria.
And Saudi Arabia, which is the same.
Well, Arabia is part of the Greater Israel Project, but the part of the Greater Kurdistan Project is those four nations, which is why they demonized Turkey, they demonized Assad, they demonized Saddam, and they demonized Iran. They want to be able to bust off that, because if you take the Greater Kurdistan map as it is drawn, and you take the Greater Israel map as it is drawn, it is funny. They just fit in like fingers into a glove. They are just two pieces, which is one of the reasons Israel is really behind, you know, attacking Assad, and of course claiming that, you know, all the Assad would be gone if it wasn't for Iran. And now, of course, we've got what you just talked about, the section talking about what to do with Iran, and that coming out with Donald Trump now, and him being very on board with targeting Iran.
Funny how that works.
That's a major. It is funny, isn't it? It's amazing. And the thing is, people don't realize. I mean, the people who plan this kind of stuff. I mean, the real deep state. Everyone says, "Well, the CIA is deep state," and that's like saying, you know, Barack Obama or Donald Trump is the government. You know, they're part and parcel of it. They're workers in it. They're high-ranking workers in it, but they aren't. But the people who plan this kind of stuff, the Kissingers and the Brzezinskis and folks like that, these guys don't plan on a yearly basis or on a five-year basis. These people plan on a 20-year basis. They know what they're going to do, and they know where they're going to go, and they carefully map out like this. Incrementalism, this death by a thousand drops or a thousand cuts that we're suffering now here in the United States under the American Gladiator program.
Right.
They know where they want to be 15 years down the road, and they will slowly work towards getting it. That's why they are where they are. That's why they are who they are. That's why they are revered, and that's why they're dangerous, in my opinion.
Absolutely. And, you know, I would maybe, well, we'll get to that when we come back after this break. Stick around, folks. We'll be right back with my special guest, Scott Crichton, right after this short break.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
There is an ongoing war right here in America. Are you aware that U.S. citizens have been classified as enemies of the state since 1933? Have you recognized that our entire government is really a vast network of interlocking corporations engaged in commerce. Look up Title 28, Section 3002. Tune in to In Defense of Humanity on Saturday nights at 7 p.m. Central Time. Find out what's really going on and learn how to protect yourself and your family as flesh and blood men and women living in a corporate reality.
Many people write us about their experience with Extendivite. Allow me to read a few from Amazon.com. Dr. Sam Serino reviewed the Extendivite product. Good ingredients, feeling much better since taking product. It seems that the tablets work well. Once again, thank you for your product. My acid reflux is really improved thanks to the Extendivite. Together with my thumb joints, the pain is gone and I'm able to grip things much better. My friend has peripheral arterial disorder and their lower legs were hurting and a red color, but thankfully, there has been a significant improvement. Kind regards, Janice. My husband feels a big difference using Extendivite. Thank you. Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Okay, nurse, let's get this man to the ER, stat.
Right away, doctor.
We see this every day. Heart attack or angina pain due to blocked and clogged arteries. Chelation can remove obstructions or blockages from arteries and help avoid painful and expensive surgery. Now there's Angioprim. It's a liquid oral chelation product that you take with juice. You start to feel the results fast. Angioprim increases blood flow all over the body, and that means more energy and strength to take on the day with less aches and pains. 60 years of research has gone into chelation, and Angioprim is the result. A safe and easy way to unblock your veins and arteries from buildup that slow circulation.
Paging Dr. Jones, please report to the emergency room right away.
Log on now for a special radio offer from Angioprim. That's angioprim.com/radio. A-N-G-I-O-P-R-I-M. Angioprim.com/radio or call 877-882-7221. That's 877-882-7221.
Welcome back. Bottom of the first hour, this Friday, February 23rd, 2018. Again, joined by my special guest, Scott Crichton. And fantastic broadcast. His website, for those, again, who may not be familiar, and that's a shame if you are, everyone should be, is over at willieloman.wordpress.com. Willie Loman, you know, Willie with a Y, loman.com. Or .wordpress.com, excuse me, and YouTube channel, American Everyman, and go check out his videos. I do want to circle back around to Parkland in a minute, but since we're on the subject, and it's, I mean, this is essential history and learning too, I was just going to add, you know, again, sort of parenthetically to what you were saying with regard to the Greater Kurdistan map. And, you know, we kind of talked about the how that folds, you know, into or the confluence of that and the Greater Israel project, the Oded Yanan map from 1982 and, you know, the continuation of that from administration to administration and Philip Drew administrator fashion, you know, through things like the Wolfowitz Doctrine, et cetera, et cetera. But you know, speaking of the plans that have been laid, as you pointed out, most people have little to no idea the level, you know, the extent to which that is true. And we need to know, folks. I know that we're completely self-absorbed and narcissistic in this culture, and by design, not by accident. But you know, if you go back in history, it's pretty fascinating, real history, to look at how, for example, Wahhabism and Salafism cropped up, and then was sort of hijacked by the Anglophile network, a la Quigley's revelations, which hijacked tools like the social virus of Wahhabism to then attack the Ottoman Empire and Fertile Crescent area, and you know, for this kind of plan that we're talking about. And you know, then you know, over the course of time, you see things like the Barbary pirates, for example, which were actually Wahhabi pirates and not so much Barbary pirates. And we fast forward to today, we have Balkanization, which is a real thing. And for Americans who don't understand the importance of this, I would simply say this is a generational plot that has been taking place over the course of hundreds of years. And now the barrel of this, of all of these weapons, is really being pointed back at us as the tip of the proxy spear. And all of these tools that have been refined over centuries now, all of these think tanks that do these iterations of, you know, war game planning and Rand Corporation game theory nonsense, trying to get you to believe that it's your, it was my idea to kill myself all along. It was all my idea. And so it's imperative, once you start to see this, the scope and the magnitude of this thing, you see that everyone should know this is essential learning.
It is essential learning. It is old, like you talk about, like you've mentioned. It is irregular warfare. It is unconventional warfare, and it is cultural warfare. I mean, you can toss in. There's a thing I did a video on, and I wrote about a while ago. It was the weaponization of refugees, mm-hmm. And this was studied. There's a paper on that, and there's, you know, basically a course study on this and the use of being able to send refugees into countries. You can make money off of it. You can destabilize the population. You can water down the culture. And this is true. I mean, this is not being xenophobic. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying this because, you know, I'm Islamophobia kind of thing. This has been done with all different types of culture, targeting all different types of other cultures and countries, not just Muslim refugees from this latest incarnation. But you look at that, but then you also look at how important it is to destroy, when you talk about Balkanization over a period of time, how important it is to destroy the culture. And what did we see? This is a war tactic. Yeah. And what did we see recently, about a year and a half ago, they had these destabilization kind of almost color revolution actors running around tearing down statues. And they weren't just tearing down statues in the South of slave owners. They were tearing down any kind of statue they can get their hands on. Mm-hmm. That's what they do.
It reminds me of Pike's letter to Mazzini. We shall unleash the nihilists and the atheists. The nihilist has no regard for social convention or tradition or any of those kinds of moorings, good, bad, or indifferent. And the atheist has little or no regard for the sanctity of life. And so, you know, that's what we're seeing in this chaos and, you know, the unleashing of, you know, we shall show them the most bloody, what is it, something about savagery and the most bloody turmoil. Anyway, absolutely. And what was the one recently Raymond Arroyo talked about? He intimated in one recent incident. Let's see. Oh, yeah. We should even play that because that was fantastic. It's like a minute long. Maybe we should just play that, if we can do that, Mr. Bordop. This, to me, is kind of the quintessential example of... actually, I need to put that on, too. Let's see. This is a quintessential example of how this stuff works. This is a minute and a half long. If we could play that video, that'd be fantastic. But Raymond Arroyo was on Fox News back on December 21st, I want to say. And he talked about the Confederate statues coming down in Memphis. And the way that was accomplished was particularly odious, literally in the dead of night. And so, Mr. Bordop. Yeah, okay, so here it is, minute and a half. Listen to this.
End around the state law. There is a Tennessee Historical Commission. They blocked the city of Memphis from moving these two statues because, according to them, no statue, monument, or nameplate that signified a military hero could be removed without that commission's authority. They said no. Well, this is what the Memphis City Council did. They decided to turn the parks, the two parks where these statues are, into private property. They gave the mayor permission to sell the public park to a private 501c3. They did that in one day, in the morning. That afternoon, they were lifting the statues off their
buildings. Wait a second.
So that's how they sold the land
that
the statues
were
on. So they were no longer public. 15 municipalities right now are considering removing Confederate statues and that building behind you at the Capitol. Cory Booker wants Robert E. Lee and Jefferson Davis out of the Capitol, where their
states have sent them. Is there any recourse against this move?
Not if you. This is a sneaky move that I'll bet.
Is there any lawsuit that can be filed?
People have been filing lawsuits, and this was against the state law.
But why are they doing the cover of darkness? What are they afraid of?
Well,
they're afraid of protests.
Like
they're afraid
New Orleans,
of Charlottesville.
Like Baltimore. They don't want it going to the popular vote of the people.
They don't. They want to do an end run around the people.
Here's my problem with it. If you want to take down a Confederate statue, fine. Let the people decide. But I think our children should
Mitch
be entitled.
Mitch Landrieu did it in New Orleans.
Yep.
Same thing.
But our
Beauregard,
children,
gone. All
our
these
children
people.
Should be entitled to the bright spots and the dark shadows of history. That's how you learn. That's how you go forward. By erasing it, eradicating it, we deprive them of their past and, I think, of a part of their future.
So there you go. To me, that is the quintessential example of what's happening. You know, the only thing maybe I would add to that is, speaking of the lessons of history, Santayana, The Life of Reason. Progress, far from consisting in change, depends on retentiveness. When change is absolute, there remains no being to improve and no direction is set for possible improvement. And when experience is not retained, as among savages, infancy is perpetual. Those who cannot remember the past are condemned to repeat it. And I would add, speaking of The Life of Reason and the phases of human progress, he wrote, fanaticism consists in redoubling your efforts when you've forgotten your aim, or when maybe a nefarious aim has been handed you, perhaps in this post-truth Bernaysian propaganda world. Your thoughts, Scott?
If I could toss something else in here.
Mm-hmm.
It's fascinating, isn't it? When you step back a little bit, these are the trees, and if you want to step back a little bit and look at the forest.
Mm-hmm.
The other, about last week, the week before that, I wrote about this whole push for comprehensive immigration reform. And I wrote about, I'm on the left. I am not a Bernie Sanders supporter anymore, obviously. He's what he is. I'm not, certainly not a Clinton-type left person. But I'm a strong supporter of gun rights, and we'll talk about that, I guess, with the thing in Parkland in a few minutes. But I'm also opposed to comprehensive immigration reform, and there's a very good reason for it. And I have been writing this for a very long time. It is not about these people who are pushing comprehensive, like Hillary Clinton and Barack, they didn't all of a sudden do all the horrible things that they have done in the world and then just, oh, on this one issue, now I'm a humanitarian. There's a reason they want to bring these
exactly.
people in. There's a reason. There's a reason why 100
exactly.
big businesses sent letters to Congress in late December of 2017 saying, you better get this done.
Yeah.
We want to keep our DACA dreamers. Because the whole point of it, you know, is lowering the minimum wage. Now, there was an article that was written, and it was published on Politico, believe it or not. Mm-hmm. And it was a guy proposing a suggestion. He says, you know what we need to do? Yes, big business profits from these immigrants who are coming in, these illegal immigrants who are coming in. And yes, a certain class of the wealthy Americans will also benefit from it. And yes, the immigrants will benefit from it because they're making 38 cents an hour over there. And this guy admitted And the $3 or $4 an hour they get paid over here is better than the 38 cents an hour they get paid over there. He admitted that.
Yeah.
He said his solution was, let's put forward a program where average people can get an immigrant, an illegal immigrant, and keep them for a couple of years on this special visa. And they'll, you know, live in the basement, and you know, they feed them, and they'll be able to pay them less than subprime minimum wage for working at, you know, in their shop, or maybe perhaps even their cotton fields. And I was like, he didn't say cotton fields, I added that. But that's what he said. He said, we could also do it if you have a family of five, if you have a two-year-old or a three-year-old kid, they can get their own illegal immigrant slash slave to work in the cotton fields out in the... And I said, holy... And this is... It was on Politico. And I tried to look at the comments and people weren't freaking out. But my point is this. Isn't it interesting that we are wiping away the history of us of slavery by taking down these statues, not just destroying our history, but also destroying our memory of what slavery is. Exactly. And at the same time, they're pushing for a new version of slavery.
It's not
a coincidence. Just stand back and look at the, if you look at the two different trees and say, these are trees, you stand back and say, that is a mighty, ugly forest.
Exactly. Yeah. Well said. Well said. And, you know, it is astonishing that folks are not horrified, kind of like Parkland. We'll get into that in a minute. But, you know, to see that, I mean, that is the most sort of overtly racist thing you could find around, if you want to call something racist or not quite the appropriate term. But, you know, hopefully folks know what I'm saying. And meanwhile, the rest of us are being shouted at through the controlled mainstream press that we're racist and bigoted. If we want to try to hold on to what's left of the modicum of American culture that's being eviscerated, you know, when you look at the words of Jefferson, for example, I think his remarks on the subject of immigration from the Notes on Virginia are particularly lucid, I guess. He said, "As rapid population growth by as great importations of foreigners as possible founded in good policy, they will bring with them the principles of the governments they leave, imbibed in their early youth, or if able to throw them off, it will be in exchange for an unbounded licentiousness, passing, as is usual, from one extreme to another. It would be a miracle were they to stop precisely at the point of temperate liberty. These principles, with their language, they will transmit to their children. In proportion to their number, they will share with us the legislation." We've seen that in some of the mainstream press coverage of these folks that barely speak English but somehow get elected. Yeah. Anyway, Jefferson continually said, "They will infuse into it their spirit, warp and bias its direction, and render it a heterogeneous, incoherent, distracted mass." Sound familiar, America? Concluding, he said, if they come of themselves, they are entitled to all the rights of citizenship, but I doubt the expediency of inviting them by extraordinary encouragements. This is very wise, very prudent. And again, we've lost sight of or been encouraged to memory whole history and its lessons.
We've been witnessing, I mean, people like yourself, like myself, and many others out there have been talking about this, and it's a slow degradation of our history, and as attached to that is the disintegration of the Constitution and the constitutional rights. And we are seeing that accentuated now. I mean, we're seeing it, it's like it's on steroids now, you know, and that's part and parcel of that. They've got to completely destroy that part of our history, wipe it clean so they can write a new constitution. And that's what they do. When they go in and they regime change someplace, the first thing they do is send the technocrats in, the neoliberal technocrats in there, who represent nothing but the interests of the World Bank and the IMF, and of course the Bank for International Settlements. And they zap those guys in there real quick to quickly hasten out a new constitution. Our constitution certainly wouldn't stand up to their standards. So yeah. I guarantee you part of this overall project is the plan to rewrite the Constitution for the United States of America. And I guarantee you it's already someplace like the Patriot Act waiting for 9/11. It's sitting somewhere written.
And, you know, again, this is why, you know, as you pointed out, for folks who are paying close attention, this is why the weaponization of refugees happens. It's what Kelly Greenhill called coercive engineered migration. Yeah. She literally wrote the book on it, Weapons of Mass Migration. And, you know, think about it, folks. When you can use the bully pulpit to create the tyrant's majority, then you weaponize that heterogeneous, incoherent, distracted mass, as Jefferson put it. And, you know, that's one of the weapons that is being pointed at us now that's been used overseas for many years. Stick around. We'll be right back with my special guest, Scott Crichton.
Do you know there is an ongoing war right here in America? Are you aware that U.S. citizens have been classified as enemies of the state since 1933? Have you recognized that our entire government is really a vast network of interlocking corporations engaged in commerce? Look up Title 28, Section 3002. Tune in to In Defense of Humanity on Saturday nights at 7 p.m. Central Time. Find out what's really going on and learn how to protect yourself and your family as flesh and blood men and women living in a corporate reality.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AROutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus magful clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AROutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AROutfitting.com.
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets. Even with a growing audience every day, RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcast. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
Welcome back. Welcome back. Final segment of the first hour of today's Road Warrior Radio broadcast is Friday, February 23rd, 2018. And as one former, I believe, RBN host put it so aptly, America, your government has been weaponized against you. Really, that's, I mean, if we could call it our government instead of a rogue political regime or whatever, that's kind of the operative concept. I'm joined once again by my special guest, Scott Crichton. And as we were saying during the break, I don't know about you, America, but this is kind of cathartic for me to be able to have a conversation really that every American should be having. Hence, Scott's YouTube channel, American Everyman, and blog, willielohman.wordpress.com. You know, before we go out in the first hour, I just want to really thank you, Scott, for coming on the broadcast. We haven't even gotten into the Parkland stuff yet, but the American Gladio series that you're doing, you know, that to me is essential learning. I'm not even really familiar, but I can say just, you know, the title, American Gladio series and American Gladio events, like your video crafting a comprehensive list of American Gladio events. Folks, if you understand, you know, that those are always false flag stage terror events in strategy of tension fashion, usually like, you know, 99% of the time, at least a big part of the MO is strategy of tension to invoke a climate of fear, to get people to embrace their kidnapper in Stockholm syndrome fashion. Kidnapper, protect us from you.
and a great example of that is, look at how the left is, can you imagine? I mean, look at what the FBI did in the 60s to the Black Panthers, to Martin Luther King. Look, the left is are supposed to be the ones who are opposed to the FBI and this kind of intrusive police state, almost Gestapo-type ethics, a Stasi-type behavior. And they've got the left embracing the FBI right now, all because of Donald Trump. They wave the Donald Trump doll in front of them and go, ooh, boogeyman, boogeyman, boogeyman. You got to love anybody who's opposed to this guy. And they are swooning with the FBI. It's creepy. It really is.
It's crazy. I mean, who killed Martin Luther King? What happened to Malcolm X? What happened to Fred Hampton? What did Stokely Carmichael say?
What?
It's unbelievable.
I mean, it's unbelievable. Who was the witness who knew the Zarnov brother and was taken down here to Florida, to Orlando, and interviewed? They didn't record the interview, and they ended up shooting him in the head, and they said he grabbed a sword. And they said, oh, well, no, he grabbed a pipe. Oh, no, he had a broom. And then they finally admitted, yeah, no, he was on his knees, and we shot him in the back of the head.
Yeah.
That's the FBI. And we love the FBI.
Exactly. Unbelievable. Trevor Aronson, The Terror Factory, he wrote the book on it. You know, the FBI, as Trevor Aronson said in his TED Talk, the FBI is better at creating terrorists than it is at catching them. Speaking of the Tsarnaevs, my favorite piece is Guillermo Jimenez's piece over at Traces of Reality. The Tsarnaevs and the CIA. Who is Graham Fuller? That'll do it for the first hour. Stick around. Second hour coming up with my special guest, Scott Crichton, right after this short break. We'll be right back.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AirOutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magful clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AirOutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AirOutfitting.com.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.